Forgive your enemies was the topic of the pastor's sermon on a particular Sunday morning. At the close of his rather long message, he asked how many were willing to forgive their enemies, and about half the congregation raised their hands. Not satisfied, he preached for another 20 minutes and repeated the question. This time, a few more lifted their hands. Still unsatisfied, he lectured another 15 minutes and repeated the question. Now, all raised their hands except one elderly lady in the back row. Mrs. Jones, aren't you willing to forgive your enemies? The pastor inquired. I don't have any, was her answer. Mrs. Jones, that's very unusual. How old are you? 93. Mrs. Jones, please come down here in front and tell the congregation how a person can live 93 years and not have an enemy in the world. The sweet little lady tottered down the aisle and very slowly turned around and announced, it's very easy. They're all dead. I've outlived them all. So that is one way to not have any enemies. In today's gospel, Jesus gives us what's called the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew and the Sermon on the Plain in St. Luke's gospel. It's his teaching about loving others, forgiving others, being merciful towards others, not condemning them. So let's very briefly hit some of the highlights, because there's obviously a lot of things that Jesus says in the gospel. Let's just hit the highlights. The first point he talks about is love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. The word that Jesus uses for love, of course, is agape. We've talked about that before. This agape is, as you know, there's at least four Greek words for love. You have philios, brotherly love, storge, patriotic love, eros, romantic love. Jesus uses the word agape, which is a kind of a divine love, a supernatural love. It's a higher love. It's a act of the will. And that's the main thing we should remember about that. The good news is that Jesus does not say you have to like your enemies. Isn't that good news? You don't have to like your enemies, but you do have to love them. And which means you desire the highest and best good for them. You want their conversion. You want their forgiveness. You want their transformation. You don't want them to go to hell. You want them to be converted and go to heaven one day. And so the word love is a decision. It's not merely a feeling. When Jesus says love your enemies, you don't have to feel kind things towards them, but you do have to love them, which means love is a decision. Love is an act of the will. See, Jesus could not command us to have a feeling. He can't command us to be hungry or thirsty or happy or sad, but he can command us to make an act of the will. And if agape love is an act of the will, then Jesus can command us to love our enemies, to pray for them. Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything he didn't do himself. What did he say on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He asked for the forgiveness for his executioners. He asked for forgiveness for those who scourged him, beat him, crowned him with thorns, crucified him, spit upon him, hit him. Jesus asked for forgiveness. He loved them. He loved his enemies. He did good to them. He even turned to the good thief and says, today you'll be with me in paradise. He blessed those who cursed him. He prayed for those who mistreated them. He said, Father, don't hold this sin against them. So Jesus tells us and shows us how to love, how to forgive, how to bless. When we're cursed, we bless. When we're mistreated, Jesus says, pray for them. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, turn and offer him the other. We get the expression, turn the other cheek. That's from Jesus, from the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus did that himself. When he was led before Caiaphas, the servant of the high priest struck the Lord. The Lord did not strike back. He just turned the other cheek. He gave us that example. Jesus says, from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. That happened to Jesus as well. At the crucifixion, they took his clothes. He was stripped of his garments. They cast dice for his clothing. They divided his garments among them. So again, Jesus did this. He turned the other cheek. He gave his garments to those who took them. So he says, love your enemies and do good to them, and your reward will be great in heaven. So we're called to be Christ-like. We're called to be like Jesus. And he says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. What is mercy? Of course, justice is giving someone what they're due. Mercy is when love tempers justice. Mercy, to have mercy upon someone, is not giving them what they're due. It's forgiving them and giving them what they don't deserve. Forgiveness, compassion, pity, reconciliation. Jesus says, be merciful as your heavenly Father is mercy. You know, mercy is not a something. Mercy is a someone. It is Jesus. If you want to see what mercy looks like, look at this crucifix. Jesus is God's mercy upon the world. Jesus is incarnate mercy. Jesus is the mercy of the Father. We did not deserve forgiveness. We deserve justice. But mercy is when love tempers justice. And so God so loved the world that he gave his Son Jesus to be mercy and to forgive us. And then he says, stop judging and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, you won't be condemned. When the woman was brought before Jesus who was caught in adultery, Jesus says, I forgive you your sins. Go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn you. When people would come to Jesus, he would forgive their sins. He would not condemn them. He would forgive them. And he'd tell the woman, go and sin no more, for I do not condemn you. And then Jesus tells us, if you forgive others, then you will be forgiven. If you're merciful to others, then God will be merciful to you. He says, the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you. Those of you who like to bake and cook, in your kitchen you probably have a set of measuring spoons, right? You've seen the 5 or 6 different spoons that sort of fold into each other in a set. I use this as an analogy. If during your whole life you only use that little tiny spoon to measure out forgiveness and mercy and compassion towards others, then on Judgment Day, you have to hand that spoon to Jesus, who will use that to measure out his mercy towards you. Jesus says that. Forgive and you will be forgiven. The measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. What I recommend is don't use that little tiny spoon. Use at least a bigger one, right? Or it's even better, throw those out and use a measuring cup. Or even better, throw the cup out and use a bucket. Or throw the bucket out and use a swimming pool. Or throw the swimming pool out and use a lake. In other words, the more merciful and forgiving you are in your lifetime, you give Jesus that capacity to forgive you on Judgment Day. So those are the main messages in the gospel today, that love is much more than a feeling. Love is a decision. Love your enemies, pray for them, turn the other cheek, don't condemn, and be merciful. And the last thing I'd like to share with you, the bishop asked all of us in our homily this weekend to let people know that the bishop's Lenten appeal is coming up, and it's a beautiful way to be merciful, to do the works of mercy. As you know, the works of mercy is to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, shelter the homeless, visit the sick and the imprisoned. So the bishop's Lenten appeal will be next weekend, and Father Barquette will preach at all the masses and do the commitment Sunday. But again, the bishop asked us to just say a few words about it this weekend and remind people that next weekend is Commitment Sunday. And a good thing to do during Lent is prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. One of the ways to give alms is to give to the bishop's Lenten appeal. It is a wonderful, it supports about 40 different programs in our diocese. I'll just mention what I consider to be the most important ones in our diocese. Number one is educating our seminarians. We have over 40 seminarians. We're blessed when you compare our diocese to the rest of the country. The rest of the country is really struggling with vocations. We are blessed with numerous vocations, young men going to the seminary. And so the Bishop's Lenten Appeal educates them for the 4 or the 8 years of their seminary training. The BLA buys land to start new parishes. It supports Catholic Charities, which does such excellent work taking care of the poor and the needy. It supports our Catholic schools, high schools, grade schools, religious ed programs, Catholic campus ministry like at George Mason, Marymount, supporting trying to keep our young people strong in their faith in high school and college, giving them good Catholic campus ministry opportunities. We have 2 parishes in the Dominican Republic that we support with the BLA. The Family Life Office does great work of preparing couples for marriage and strengthening marriages and families, helping the unborn, doing great pro-life work, saving the unborn babies. So these are just some of the things that the BLA supports. So Jesus says today, be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful. So I encourage you next Sunday when we have our BLA commitment to be generous in your Lenten almsgiving by supporting the BLA. What a beautiful way to be merciful, to help feed the poor and shelter the homeless and to take care of the needy.